Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast, and joining me right now in alphabetical order, it's Paddy, Pete, Steve. You're on, lads.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I said enough, but you should have come back in alphabetical order, really, guys. So, you know, it's like Ant and Dec. They stand on the screens, Ant on the left, Dec on the right. But never mind, it's audio. It's, on the left speaker is Paddy. Together, Pete and Steve on the right speaker. Steve's sounding a bit less, you know, bubbly this morning after his live disco last night. And how many, dude, two bottles of wine you knocked back, Steve, did you?
Yeah, well... There's a little bit left of the second bottle of wine in the kitchen, which I'm discovering now. But yeah, bad times.
Yeah. You loved it. It's funny, just red wine, DJing with 80s disco music with red wine. It's a really odd combo, that, isn't it?
But, two bottles. Oh, right.
He's loving it. And then Steve said, "Oh, he said I had a lot of popcorn last night. Good party then, Steve. Popcorn after the disco." Anyway, so do you enjoy, Steve? Was it good last night?
I think I need to pull back on the drinking because I think I was alone.
No. Au contraire, sir. I think literally 3 hours. I think a bottle each hour. The last hour will be cracking. I think a bottle pre-disco warm up. You know, before you get on air.
Yes.
Then literally a bottle every half an hour. I think that would make it fun. I would definitely be waiting for the third hour. See, stumbling, knocking his head on the decks and falling over and stuff. That would be ideal. That's the selling point, Steve. You want Steve get gradually wasted throughout the hours. And tune in the last hour where you just stand there naked. Going, yeah! I love that.
I noticed a few of the people from the podcast tuning in going, this isn't stocks and shares.
Yeah. I did put the link out on Twitter last night. I don't know if it's... Is it open? If you're not on Facebook, you can't do that. Can you, Pad? Can you do it?
I didn't watch.
Yeah. Thanks, Pad.
I love you straight out. I didn't watch.
I think you can now, because I think if on Facebook, for the videos that are public, I think you can see them even without a Facebook account now.
Okay, all right. So by the way, did any of you do the clap on, you know, clap for key workers, NHS workers on was it Thursday or Wednesday? Did you do that?
I didn't, no. I should do.
Pad, Steve, did you do it?
Well, no. I looked outside my street and nobody came out my street, so I thought it would be a bit weird me just going out as the single man. I think they all think I'm weird as it is, let alone
Do you know what?
Standing clapping by yourself.
Yeah. Do you know what? I felt, well, I did in the same, last week, Megan goes to bed very early and the kids are at 8 o'clock. Last week, they're in bed by obviously 8 o'clock. And so I was just sitting there and so I saw a bit on Twitter sort of, oh, amazing. I felt really bad because I felt self-conscious. I didn't want to go out there on my own because I've been on your own, a bit odd as you're on your own, just doing it, you know? So, yeah. Like you said. But this week, the kids are up and maybe the kids come out and we went outside and every one of our neighbours was doing it. Everyone. I didn't expect everyone to be doing it. So, and they almost looked at us like saying, yeah, at last, where were you last week? You know, and Megan lied and said, oh, we nearly missed it. I was looking forward to this all day. to people across the road. But it was a genuine nice feeling. Just, if I were you, I'd just try and start her off because once it gets going, and it's going to happen every week, I think now, isn't it? But I thought it was a bit odd. I said, I'm not joining that. But I genuinely thought that was quite nice. I came in and I had a nice feeling that that was quite nice, actually. You know?
I might start doing it every day at 8 o'clock just to warm people up so they get used to the idea of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Work? Good idea,
yeah,
Pete.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
My troops started doing it every day at 12 just for each other. Which
oh, yeah. Have they? It's kind of, that's a bit extreme. That's a bit over the top, that is. Every well, when does that...
Also, it's a terrace street, so like it's not sensible. I'm not going to get involved.
Exactly, and the thing is, that will peter out, you know? It'll get to the stage where one of them not turning up. Someone says, oh, number 12 hasn't got. And then number 15, then you know, 15 has dropped off as well. And then you don't need the last one on there every week just clapping, do you? So it'll just, I wouldn't do it. Once a week is manageable. Once a day, it's ridiculous. But I noticed people now sort of ramping it up to the point where I've seen pots and pans. You know, next week, I think I'm sure you'd have a one-man band out there. Steve, get your decks out there.
Yeah, maybe I should do that.
Yeah, you should do that. Get your decks out on wheels. You need those decks on wheels, Steve. That's what you need. Just wheel them out there.
And, they actually are on wheels.
Oh, yeah, well, do that. That's the way to start it off. And yeah. But it's quite a nice thing. But do you see, what do you think about? I did put it as a poll on Twitter about Matt Hancock. He put out the old 100,000 targets, didn't he? I want to do 100,000 tests before the end of April. And I thought, well, you've really just hit 10,000, and you've been talking about ramping up for 3 weeks now. It should be at 25,000 by now, according to Boris. But they've just cracked 10,000 the last 2 days. What do you think about that? That's a big target to put out there, because he's going to be lambasted, isn't he? If he doesn't get there, he's really he's going to lose his job, surely.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then he'd probably start running an AIM-listed company with that kind of ramping skill.
Yeah, it'd be perfect, I know. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But no, I put out there, right, listen, I find him a bit contrived, Matt, and people, I don't think people see through him. I mean, he didn't do a bad job, but I do see him a bit contrived, and I'm not convinced by him, you know. But I thought, I don't care really. I would love them to achieve that. I'd love them to smash that target. And I'd love Britain to be the new standard of what other countries look up to and say, look, Britain's doing this many tests. Why aren't we? Like, at the moment, it's Germany or South Korea, isn't it? Everyone's saying, look at Germany or South Korea. They're doing a lot more tests. That's the way to do it. I would like to be that country, the new standard everyone looks up to, you know. Fantastic. Yeah. I think the NHS Nightingale Hospital was amazing. I'm still stunned by how in nine days you've got that up and running. And I was like, that's phenomenal, because I don't know who started. I saw an interview with a guy, he's a military guy, and he said, this is what I do, you know, I build field hospitals in Afghanistan. So he knows who's that. So that kind of person, I think that's human ingenuity at its best. You bring a guy in, okay, we need to create a 4,000 bed hospital. Hospitals take years to build, right? Obviously, it's not actual hospital, but it's wards and stuff. And they said, how much time have I got? We've got 2 weeks. You've got 2 weeks, right, okay, let's get it done. And he did it. It's like, that's phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah, so what's the situation with the testing? Why don't we get him in charge of that? Or we need someone, an equivalent, to be able to drive that forward?
A logistics expert. Yeah, but the thing is, this is what they're saying. I do believe I did. I actually Googled this as well and looked at it. But we have GSK over here, and I know they're different, and AstraZeneca. But I did look at Roche, and Roche's diagnostics. They've got a big diagnostics plant. Roche is one of the biggest pharma companies in the world. They've got a big diagnostics plant in Germany. So that's where they do this stuff. So they can ramp up very quickly within one facility. So apparently they can get tests up. We don't have that. We have lots of small little labs. And I saw a guy say, owner of a lab on the news this week, saying, which was quite nice, I said, this is like Dunkirk or D-Day or whatever, where the government call out for all little boat owners to go over and rescue your troops, you know? And he said, this is that now. He said, the version of that is asking all little labs to help out. And that's why, I mean, apparently he's so confident now because they've got the infrastructure in place. It's like before they didn't, and now they've got a system in place. They've got, they've obviously got the equivalent guy. They've got the builder NHS in Nightingale in charge now, and he's got all these clubs together and on singing from the same hymn ship, so they can ramp up. But before they didn't, so I think, I don't think he would have said that if he said that and he had no idea how he's going to get there. Then he's,
He's got to have some basis of fact. The only thing is, it's with like comedies such as The Thick of It and Veep and all that, you kind of watch those and you kind of, it's then he comes off stage and they go, no, no, we get 100,000 a month.
That's it. If they looked at, if Matt had said that and they looked at the other two guys standing next to him, just looking at him, you know, astonished, and, what is he doing? What's he doing?
Exactly.
Well, and so, that's what's right.
This government's pretty good at putting out big ambitions and not delivering on them, isn't it? So they're sort of used to doing that. I wouldn't have thought they have too many qualms about putting out big numbers and then not actually hitting them.
No, but I don't know. I think he's really put his neck on the line there. It's a big thing. 100,000 targets end of this month. Done. Thing is, right?
Boris said 250 about
surprising thing with Boris is this, right? People tend to like him. Now, whether he's any good or not, I don't know. You know, he's a bit like Trump. You know, he can promise a lot and not deliver a lot, and people sort of love him because he's quite a character and he gets away with that. It's almost at the moment, it's quite good because he's in the background, you know, and you don't need him. I imagine people around him thinking, listen, he's a popular guy, you know, people like him, but let's try and keep him in the background somehow. You know?
I think right now we could really do with someone who's actually a leader, you know what I mean? I think having a mascot is not enough. We need
like Donald Trump or something like that.
Donald Trump. He's boasting about his ratings. I couldn't believe that. I mean, on Facebook now, he's saying this is the best. But previously, the week before, he said on Twitter, he said, I don't know if you've seen the ratings, but I'm actually beating The Bachelor on these coronavirus updates. Are you kidding? And America's just had their highest death rate yesterday, on the 3rd of April. 1,300 people died yesterday in America, you know? And the chart is going straight up, pretty much, in America. So, what is it? They had, 1,321. Before that was 969. Before that was 1,000. So they are higher. That's higher than Italy and Spain. Their daily count now. And let's be honest, if you look at the population of America and look at the way it's set up, you know, then it's only going to get higher. And that's why, bringing this around the stock market, that's why I said in my last week's video, the figures to watch for America. America's the biggest economy in the world. It's got the biggest stock market. All other stock markets, you know, fall in line with it, pretty much correlate with it. So if you want to look for anything of a near-term positive thing, it's going to be the figures in America plateauing out. Now, I don't know how long that'll take because, you know, like I said, China, from peak to trough, from the bottom when they first discovered, coronavirus, to the top, to lockdown, to lifting lockdown, was 2 months. But in China, you get locked down. There's no messing around. In America, they're not even locking down, are they, really? It's a loose lockdown, like in the UK, because we are a Western, you know, civilization. We don't have authoritarian rule. We don't have someone like Xi Jinping saying, listen, if you leave your flats, we'll chop your head off. We don't have that. If you had that, people wouldn't leave the house. Now, this weekend's going to be lovely. It's going to be 20 degrees. I can't see people staying in.
They're all going to be out, aren't they? They're all going to be out. Mm. All the cretins justifying it to themselves.
Yeah, it's lovely weather though. It's lovely.
What's going to happen? Yeah.
Just an hour walk.
We're just going to go to the park, have a little barbie. We don't have anybody with us. We've invited a couple of friends along, 30 or 40. But apart from that, we're all self isolating on our own barbecue, and that's what's going to be. I know. And
we've been in all week. Come on, we deserve it.
been in all week. It's a lovely day. Come on. Yeah. You say, why is the weather so nice then if he doesn't want us to go out? That's worrying. So I think, listen, I do think, right, I'm going to give you 5 stocks, all right? And I think we're going to start scaling in almost once a month. I do think we'll see the worst of this within 5 months, even though I did say last week on the video, if you look at the average bear market recession, it's 36% drop. It's 337 days, which is pretty much a year. This has gone down faster. We've had a lot of stimulus, so I think it may not last as long. But if you look at the figures coming out, these are depression-sized figures, if you look from America. Did you see them this week?
Yeah.
I guess the thing with America is they haven't announced a similar policy in terms of paying people's wages, have they? So companies out there are going to be far more keen to just jettison staff if they can.
Yeah.
And you would hope that maybe when things return back to normal, they'd also be equally keen to bring them back on as quickly, or maybe partially as quickly. So, you know, maybe those numbers are not slightly more negative than than they look.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, also, yeah, they are negative. But I also think, as I said, when we kick back open, they won't. I got criticised on Twitter for being a bit dramatic with this tweet, and I said, we are now, the economy is in an induced coma. I said, you can't just snap back. You can't snap back from an induced. If you put a patient, I said, it's a disease, and I try to like, it sounds so dramatic, I try to liken it to a medical, you know, to the virus. I said, if a patient is put in an induced coma, okay, there's a serious problem with them. If they start taking the organs out, like the lungs and the heart, and they start after just breathing.
Oh, don't do that.
I know, if the patient is breathing on machine, at that point, the patient is quite stable because the machine is doing the work for it. That's where we are at the moment. The machine is breathing for us, all right? That's why the market hasn't really fallen in the last few weeks, hasn't really done any of those 10% drops anymore. So, the patient's been rushed in, we've had that drop, he nearly conked out, put on a machine, fine now. So we've had that big drop. Where we are at the moment is there. Now, when you put the patient back together and put all the stuff back in, and then you take the machines off him, and that's when the lifting happens. I'm saying, you know, with a patient there, you don't just get out of bed and walk around after you come off of the life support machines. After an induced coma, the longer you're in a coma for, the longer it'll take to recover. You know, it just, you don't just get up and walk around. It's like, if you want an analogy, it's like a light switch. It's not switch on, it's a dimmer switch. The economy is not a switch on, switch off. It's a dimmer. You've dimmed it down, and you're going to dim it back up. And so it'll take a while for the economy to kick in again. It won't go back to normal. I mean, you look at the patient, apparently you have the most failures after Christmas and things like that, because companies don't have the cash flow to ramp up or run down, so they go through Christmas and they fail. And that's what's going to happen now. You may have a lot of businesses failing soon as the lockdown is lifted. So I'm expecting to see another leg down in the markets. I mean, I don't know how they're holding up so well. They've only just, in those figures last week, I put into context.
Well, hold on. It's dropped 30%.
But 26. But look, Pete, 26%, right? It's dropped, right? 26%, 27%, 30%, right? And that's the initial worry over this lockdown. But we are talking here of, like I said, if you go back to the financial crisis in America, 8.7 million people were unemployed then. In 2 years, we've done 9.9 million in 2 weeks in the US. That is more in 2 weeks than 2 years of the financial crisis. And they reckon it's going to get worse. They reckon it's just a start. They reckon next week, again, there was 3 million the previous week, there was 6 million last week. There's going to be, and some of them say, probably more than that next week. They're going to go to 10-12% unemployed. And that's, you get, some people are saying it's up 25%. I don't see how it's going to be that. That's depression thing. So, but I think, like Paddy said there, I think a lot of these people, when businesses open up, some of them, hopefully, most of them will go back to work, you know, and there will be jobs from there. Not all of them, so the economies won't be firing on all four, five cylinders, whatever, how many cylinders you want, but it won't be, you know, gung-ho and back to the workforce straight away. It takes a while to pick back up, but I think this market will start to rally very strongly as soon as the lockdown is lifted. It won't go back to normal levels, so I think that's, and I don't know when, but I think it'll be hopefully before the end of the year. Hopefully, you know, and I think we've got to start scaling in to companies on a monthly basis, maybe on big drops, but you've got to spread your money out over 5-6 months. That's what I reckon. So almost on a monthly basis. So you need the stocks, okay? You've got time. So, right, a scale in is going to be on each stock. It's going to take me about 5, maybe 6 months, maybe six tranches to scale in.
From now, are you talking? Or are you waiting for this move down?
I think they're saying America's peak is going to be around about the next 2 weeks, aren't they? Next 2 weeks of peak of... if you look at Italy, Italy's figures are starting to peak. If you look at Italy's chart, they're not coming down quickly, but they're not beating previous highs. So the previous high in Italy was on March... 919 daily deaths on March 27th. And they basically come in, they go up and down a little bit, but that's been the high, and now they're down to 766. So they're still high, but I mean, they're in lockdown, but once those come down, you know, below 500 a day, you can see a trend now anyway. But that is taken from, when do they start? Of March, so basically start of March. March to March 27th peak. So that's a month's peak, like in China. Month's the peak, month's down. So we're saying 2 months. So if we go to America, America started going up, where 18th of March, 19th, 20th. So it took much, 20th of April maybe, and then down. So it took 2 months. So March, April, May, And so, you know, to a summer level, I think by then, the people will think, right, okay, we can now start focusing. So all, as I said, all we got at the moment, figures-wise, are deaths, unemployment, insolvencies. That's all we'll have. Well, yeah. When is the positive stuff coming out? Because we had the positive stimulus. The positive will come out when we start seeing these figures going down. And that's it, right, and people will start focusing on now getting the economy back in order. And I also think there'll be a positive from tests. We're getting, you know, these tests haven't been around for a long time, you know, for this disease. So they're still sort of sort them out. But there's two types of tests. And there's one, we need swab tests for suspected sufferers and NHS workers, because if workers, you know, are ill, they can't go to work. So we need to get them back in work, tackling the people who are poorly. Then we need the antibody tests, which, of course, if you've got an antibody and they found you've had coronavirus, I think we'll have, what's that name pad, the passport? What's it called?
Immunity certificate.
Yes. I think this is the key to getting the economy back to work.
Yeah, it's bleak, isn't it?
Yeah, immunity certificate or immunity passport. I don't know how long. At the moment, they're saying it's questionable whether you get immunity, but some people say you do get immunity, but some people say it's for 3 months. But how do you know that? Because it's only been around for 4 months anyway, or COVID, been aware of it for 4 months. So, but once you get one of those, and even for holidays and stuff, to get on the plane, you must need one of these immunity passports or immunity certificates telling you if you've had...
What colour will they be? Will they be red or blue?
Yeah, I think there should be a stamp on your forehead, you know? Literally.
Right, okay.
Big tattoo so, around you.
Yeah. Yeah, IC, what's it called? IP on your head or something like that? Or, yeah, VIP. Yeah, no, some stamp on your head so you know straight away. He's clean, he can go to work, he can come in. If you haven't got one of stamps on your head, or even if you, you know, if you've been tested for it, no, that'd be too bad. If you had it, you have a stamp on your head.
They've got to be really careful with that, though, because you end up with this horrible sort of black market then. Yes. You end up with people feeling they have to go and get the illness in order to be able to go to work. Like, it's dystopian at best, but it's they've got to just be, they've got to remember just to be like normal humans with this as well.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is... This is a thing, though. They were saying that, I read an article, it was quite complex, saying if we carry on with this lockdown for, like, beyond 3 months, you'll have more people dying, pretty much, this is 6 months, I think, you'll probably have more people dying of poverty around the world than actually of the disease. Because if you look, you've seen, you know, developed countries like Italy, in North Italy, very developed, good, you know, health service, creaking and buckling and being crippled by this. If you go to a place like, you know, Africa, places, townships in Africa and India, it's going to be awful, absolutely awful, you know, they can't. So we you've got to keep the economy going somehow, otherwise death by poverty will be worse than actual what's happening. Because Modi shut down India. That's 1.3 billion people. That is nuts. We can't shut down the UK, 60 million. And they got, you know, I don't know what the mass is on that, but how many times more was that? 16, 13, is it twice? No, 10, 12 times? I don't know. But, you know, it's a lot more people. But half the world, we've never seen this before. Half the world is in lockdown. This has never happened. It's talking about induced coma, you know? It's, that's what it is.
In terms of, because I agree, I mean, I'm normally quite bullish, or I'm either bullish or just slightly less bullish. I'm not really, I'm sort of generally never bullish, but never bearish. But this period now, I find myself being incredibly bearish. And I'm like, wow, I kind of feel like I should just sell my entire portfolio. Even though it's dropped 30% and that is depressing, it could drop another whatever.
That's pretty much what I've done this week, Pete.
Well, no, it's that bad. I think people... Someone said you'd be a bit dramatic, that text about induced coma, and I said I don't think investors are taking it that seriously. It was hard to weigh it up, but I think it's a lot worse than the financial crisis. That went down 47. That went down 47%. You know, on the FTSE, we're now at about close to 30. So I think we're really going to go down another 20%, and that's
With the financial crisis, the recovery was relatively swift, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, in terms of market, sorry, not the overall economy, but the markets recovered relatively quickly. I think this is just, I mean, I just think this is going to, the knock-on effect, the ripple out of this is going to go on for, I mean, you're saying end of the year you could get a rally, I don't know, maybe, but I'm seeing longer than that, really.
But, yeah, people say this is not, I've heard people say that this is not too bad because the banks are fine. No, you don't understand. The banks won't be fine. you know, the banks are the that's where the buck stops, pretty much. You know, if everyone starts like into one of the big shopping mall owners, they own 26 shopping malls. They're going through real bad problems at the moment. They've received 29% of their rents across. They own like the Trafford Centre, Gateshead, and all that stuff. They've had 29% rents this month. That's all they've had. Now, that, where does that go? Who owns the mortgages? Who owns the debt of that? Where does that go? It most of it comes back to the bank. You know,
and the thing is this whole thing of the as and when. You know, we get through this and the recovery, it's not going to be like just flip the switch and then all those shops will suddenly reopen and they'll start paying the rent and all of that. Because no, those shops won't come back. And those, I don't know, I just think it's...
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you look at a business, you know, a retail business, there we're not going to all start going out and partying again. Maybe for one or 2 days, maybe the odd people. But I think after a month, our mindset, our psychology has changed. Really has. And everyone's going to be fearful of catching it again. But hopefully, we'll have more tests available, and people realise, hang on, most of the vulnerable now are protective, or we can cope with it because we pushed the curve down. It's about the NHS more than anything, because we can cope with it. But but most people go back with a reduced workforce, won't they? So you're talking about less, you know, people buying products, you know, less need to produce those products, and that's how a depression happens. That's how, you know, basically less people buying products, lay off people. Less people out there, again, they're buying more products. It's a downward spiral. It's like and that's what they're going to try and avoid. So they've got to try and make sure that they're trying to keep as many employees on as possible. So we don't need that because, I don't know. It's hard to know. The figures are massive, massive figures of unemployment. Like I said, do you see 130,000 businesses have applied for this loan in the UK? And they've basically 1,000 have got it so far, so you know that. Yeah. So that and most of the people who don't want to apply, they're saying, "Listen, my business started going down, wasn't strong beforehand anyway, so this is the problem. Unless your business is flying, you've got loads of cash, you know. It's only viable for people with cash and good businesses. So people don't really need it, you know, or they may need it so they can take it on board. But for people who really need it, they don't pass the test." So it's going to be, I don't know, part of me is saying we'll go back to 50% capacity at least by the end of the year. And part of me thinks, oh, we're in a big problem here. We're in a big, big problem. So I don't know, but I'm just hoping, I don't know, the government will have to help. You know, I think they have more, I know they can't reduce interest rates and stuff, but I think they'll have to help. And government debt, to me, is less worse than...
Do you not think, though, like, it all sounds doom and gloom, but do you think with everyone being in the same situation, businesses, people, that would probably help in a strange way? It's not just a certain sector?
Yeah. Well, before, like I said, you know, there's an analogy. Look at the financial crisis, right? If you look at a car, the banks are the engine of the car, right? The engine seized up. And but the government came in, sorted the engine out. But right now, you've got the car just falling apart. Every bit of the car falling apart. So you can't use the engine anyway. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The engine's going to die. It's going to rust up. And if you're going to use it, it's not going to work. It's going to seize up. So that. But yeah, a certain point of me thinks, listen, of the two, it's a case of what's the worst scenario here? The worst scenario is you go into depression. Who is? The economies, the governments of the world can allow that. I don't think they can afford to, because they'll have social uprising. You know, at the end of it, you've got people like Donald Trump, who will not be nominated again for a president, and that's the biggest embarrassment of all. So they will move everything to try and get the economy working again. So I think, it's the worst of two scenarios, I think. And I think, what's the worst? Government debt going up, ballooning, or everyone out of work? And so it comes down to that, doesn't it? You know?
That's why that's the time thing for me. Like what I said, like the financial... crisis, you know, around 08, 09, by kind of 2010, things were kind of back, FTSE 100 was kind of back to the levels it was, broadly speaking. I just think this thing, I don't know, the knock-on effect could go on for, I don't know, years, maybe.
But also, let me just say one thing. That's why I don't think this is priced in yet. And I think also, when lots more people think like that, there's massive opportunity because the stock market will take another leg down. So when I'm talking about another 20% down, 30% down, that's on the FTSE. Now, most stocks are leveraged to the FTSE, so they have a higher beta. You know, so what it means, a beta means, say a stock acts exactly the same as the FTSE, it's got a beta of one, you know. Most small caps will have a beta of two, so they'll move twice as fast as the FTSE will, you know? So And so the FTSE goes down by 10%, they go up 20%. So when I'm saying the FTSE go down by 10%, you know, most small microcap stocks will go down, well, may go down a lot more than that. So that's what I'm worried about at the moment. But there's always opportunity there. And when people get that bearish, if you look at 1932, for example, the 30s, there's some massive rallies. Massive. So, and then it went down again. So you will get that. You won't go straight down. So there'll be a chance to exit. If you want to, this is a chance, like I said now. I heard someone said, I think it's the time not to just sell, but look, literally to upgrade your stocks. So this is your chance to get rid of the rubbish on big rallies. Get rid of the rubbish. Because you
make it massively down.
Yeah, because now you can, because the good stocks, really good companies that you know will are likely to come back, are cheap. They're really cheap, and you can get into. I'm talking about the sort of Greggs and all that stuff. You know, the FTSE 100 companies, like who's done very well, like the Boohoo's. You know, the, who else? Rightmove. All these the ones that I've got a list here. And I think Greggs will come down to less than £10. It's at 15 quid at the moment. I think £10. Look at the months that we have 2 weeks so far. We're 2 weeks into a lockdown. What does that feel like? I mean, it's like. And people are panicking and businesses are going through. But I think we'll go a lot further down this when they've got no revenue coming through the tills. EasyJet, for example, it's a good business. You know, it's got 1.2 billion of cash. They've also now just been qualified for this business loan scheme. Yeah. You know, you've got...
Lone Star, yeah.
Yeah, so it's loads of good companies. JD Sports, one of the best out there, has performed over the years. But all these companies, even you can get into them and literally hold them. Because after this, if we have a massive sell-off there, we'll have a massive bull market. We've had a big party anyway. The last bull market has been 10, 12 years. So it's like, you know, you have a big party, you have a big hangover. That's it. So I can't see this going on for long. But yeah, Rightmove, all these. I got to say, I bought a little chunk of shares I want to hold for the next 10 years yesterday. Not a lot.
Ooh.
Not a lot, but I just want... Because when you get a skin in the game, then you pay more attention to it, you know? And so I've got 11 stocks here, and I try and suggest that... You can take your pick, but I'm going to suggest some to you. But,
Are you going to read them out now, or...?
Do you want me to?
Yeah.
Okay. Greggs, EasyJet, On the Beach... These are very risky. EasyJet and On the Beach are very risky at the moment because they are right in the epicenter of the issue. You can't. I suppose Greggs are now anyway. They all are, aren't they? Really.
But so even though you think Greggs are going to come down to a tenner, you bought them at 15.
Yes, because I bought a little bit. I know. You know. If this is less. This is half. Five tranches I'm going to get into. So five equal tranches. Literally, this is just a toe hold in. And I haven't started my tranches yet. I'm starting maybe next month. Start getting in, you know. So Tristel, which of course healthcare, they are doing well in this environment because they are antimicrobial. You know, their biggest customer is the NHS. It's Tristel, MPAC, which is industrial goods, services, machinery, speciality, MTI Wireless, technology, telecommunications. You know, have you seen these? They do 5G and all that stuff. Have you seen these conspiracy theories about people? People suggested to me on Twitter yesterday, Justin, have you seen these 5G antennas going up during the lockdown? Coincidence?
Wow.
And I said, are you kidding? I said, yeah, and also 5G originated in Wuhan? I said, do you honestly think the global governments are that organised? You've seen our government. They can't organise anything. I said, they're not going to create a virus just to secretly shove up 5G antennas. But everyone started to say, if you look on the internet, 5G, it was called 5G, COVID 5G or something. Just look at it on Twitter. It's gone mad.
What is conspiracy theory?
I don't understand the theory.
The theory is that 5G broadband is bad for you. It kills birds, bees, flies. I've seen studies on it. You can find someone actually tweeted me yesterday. Said, Justin, I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but I said whenever I start a sentence like that, I'm spreading it as a conspiracy theory. But I said, apparently, they're using this virus to lock people down so they can shove up these 5G. And because there's been a lot of complaints about 5G.
But they were going to put them up anyway. Why did they need the virus to put the antennas up?
But like any conspiracy theory, you can find one good video saying it's fine, by medical experts saying 5G is fine compared to every conspiracy theory. And I even saw, the last thing I saw on it was like, Click, BBC's Click technology show. And I saw that they tested it. They always test things and did it. And it's fine. 5G, if you're very close to it for a long period of time, because they're going to need a lot of these aerials, apparently. They need a lot more than 4G because the FBI, I don't know why, they need a lot more. They don't send out signals as far, so they need a lot more of them. But they're saying the spectrum of the bandwidth or the spectrum is bad for animals, insects. But they've tested them over and over again, and so many experts say they're fine. But there's a growing impact, even... You know that well-known physicist and scientist Amanda Holden. She's also she's also on Twitter saying no to 5G and all this stuff because So people think this. I said, listen, no, I don't think this is the case. I don't think the entire world got this organised to invent a virus to kill off people, to organise a lockdown to get 5G aerials up.
That is absolutely insane.
No, but people are like, people are seriously.
This week they were saying some geezer. I really hope this was a joke, but there was a guy on Twitter saying that the clap on a Wednesday was so that they could test the 5G network because it makes a buzzing noise, and they need a minute of applause around the whole country to be able to test it without people.
I love it.
But just think, what I like is that people give too much store to human organised. People generally, yeah. Right, even the government, how disorganised they are, you know? Yeah. There's no debate.
Like, just look how incompetent this bunch of idiots are. Like, the idea that they've organised this is...
Exactly. Most governments are like that. Most people, if you look at most governments like that, paid departments like that, are incompetent, you know? Did you see Jeremy Corbyn's letter today to Boris Johnson? No. He said Jeremy Corbyn sent a letter to Boris Johnson about 5 points he wanted to address on his leaving. First of all, he put Mr. Prime Minister twice in the letter, right, one below each other. Then he had 2.4s. And he said, 2.4s in a 5-point letter, number four, and below it, number four. And someone said, is this attention to detail I missed from Jeremy Corbyn? Does people honestly think that these people are that competent? Is there a secret department of the government that's super efficient? I don't believe so. Is there a global department that can organise this level of clap for the NHS's, and that's for 5G.
Can I just say, like, I'm not a Tory, but I'm going to cut the government a bit of slack in this period. It's a mental period, and I think they're doing not a bad job in terms of. I know the test thing and all that, and there's lots of things we could pull apart. Could we do any better? I don't know if I could really. So I'm inclined to go. They're doing an okay job. Man alive! Imagine we had Jeremy Corbyn and Diane Abbott in charge.
I know you imagine that. Wow. Yeah, but Dan Abbott's believes in the 5G thing. No. I know Paddy's never going to get. Paddy, I know you're never going to clap the Tories. But to be fair, we are in an area now where it's untrodden path. This has never happened before. It's not like this is an infrastructure and a supply chain ready made for this. You're just making it as you're going. It's like putting down the track and the train is going on it. You're trying to put it on the track and you're trying to go around the mountains and hills.
I think they made some very, very bad decisions at the start. Other countries managed to avoid those bad decisions.
Other countries are making the same decisions. So you're always going to be compared to the way it should have been done, And like Sweden, for example, have not done lockdown at all. And people think that's the way forward. And all of a sudden, their deaths now are starting to rise very quickly. Now, Sweden, forward-thinking country, they've made a mistake. So lots of countries will make mistakes. But I mean...
So there are case studies that say, if it was me at the time, you would be following the countries that have successfully got through SARS and bird flu in the past and follow their lead rather than going off in some crazy herd immunity policy.
Yeah, but hang on a second.
Hang on.
SARS, for example, and MERS weren't like this. So people could argue, no, it's not like this. SARS just petered out. We still haven't got a vaccine for the MERS or SARS because they don't need one. So it's you don't know how they're going to act or react. But I do agree with you that they were going on these models, right? And from previous MERS and SARS stuff, they're using models from previous pandemics, all this stuff. They're like, hang on, we've got a live model in China. But you can't believe China. Like I said, I tweeted out, China now is that there are 5 countries above China, right? They've had more fatalities than China. Really? So this virus started in a city of 11 million people, right, bigger than London. It was being passed around 3 months before anyone knew about it. Very contagious, we know that now. 1.5 billion population country, they've only had 3,300 deaths. That's a quarter of Italy. don't tell us nonsense. So you can't believe anything from China, you know, really can't. So we don't know what he's doing.
That in itself is a worry, because, like, go back 2-3 weeks when we were saying, okay, China seems to turn the corner. And you're looking at it, no, that's utter nonsense. They could be getting tens of thousands of deaths a day and we wouldn't know about it.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense why they were building hospitals now, you know. And yet, right. Apparently, people have you seen that? Another maybe conspiracy theories, but have you seen. Apparently, the amount of mobile phones accounts that are not now being used in China, and the amount of urns that have been. Apparently, the morgues are built up. They got a lot more than 3,300. So you can't really trust that. So, no, to me, they've made mistakes. Of course, they have. But they said, when you're in any situation where it's never happened before, you are literally putting the track down in front of the train, you know, and you don't know which direction to go in. So it's
but things like transparency and clear communication are really easy, and that would have been helpful and would continue to be helpful.
Why haven't they done that? What's the problem? Where haven't they done that then?
I don't know. I just think the communication has been pretty terrible since the start. People are confused still about what they're allowed to be doing and what they're not allowed to be doing.
Yeah, maybe that's the thing.
The language hasn't been clear.
Yeah, what I didn't like with Boris is I thought he'd be harder than that. He came on a bit too softy. He said, I know you're doing a lot of stuff. I know I've got to thank you for staying indoors. I really like the... Have you seen the governor, the mayor of New York, Cuomo? I really like him. He's just messing... And literally... He just said, you know, but everyone's having a problem getting PPE. Everyone in the world. And he said, listen, he said, in America, this is a state system, we are bidding for PPE against other states. It's like eBay. It's like, he said, 52 states are bidding against each other. How insane is that? So he realizes getting, you know, equipment for it's not just us having problems, all of the world pretty much, apart from the places manufacturing this stuff, which ironically is China, but you know, you can't get it. So everyone's having these issues, but I don't understand that Boris at the start should have said, right, we're in lockdown, this is what's happening. If you do this, but we're going from a free country, you know, pretty much a democratic country to basically a system where, you know, it doesn't smack of a free country, does it? You know, you're okay doing this in China and whatever, but I understand, but it needs to be very clear. I understand it. But again, you know, mistakes will be making. When you're asked to create supply chains that have never been created before or workflows, it's going to be, mistakes are going to be made, I know, but there you are. But anyway, back to the stocks. MTI Wireless, that was 5G, and they also are into, which I quite like a lot, I think it's a big area, they're also into, if you look at that documentary on Netflix, explained about water and all that stuff, and it's the biggest resource, it's going to be a problem in the future. They're also into managing water, electronic AI systems that for farms and stuff, so they have water systems, they know how to, know where to irrigate, when and where, they've got all these samples in the soils, so it's very water efficient technology as well into. Now, I bought my first ever mining company.
What?
Yeah.
What, a resource stock?
Yep.
Interesting.
And like I said, I've only put a toehold in each of these, but it's called Salt Lake Potash.
Sounds big.
It's massive. It's in Australia.
It's very environmental, I've got to be honest.
No, but it is. They're just salt pans. They're basically, pans of salt. So it's basically, you know, potash is fertilizer, right? The world is eating more, the world is growing more. But we can't supply that. We know that. There's a problem with that. So they're going to have to... We can't get more land because the land is used for everything from industry. So what you have to do is increase the yield of crops on the land. So potash is becoming more and more used and used. Now, Salt Lake Potash got premium potash, right? SO4 is actually the ticker, but it's also the chemical for that potash, the chemical symbol. Very clever there. So they've got sort of these 9 lakes in Australia, the middle of Australia, that's where they get the potash from, basically. But they've basically done a bankable feasibility study on one. This is the first one up and running. It'll be revenue in 2021, quarter 2021. If you look at the NPV on this, let me just check. The NPV on this is about $500 million on the first one. They've got 8 other cut and pastes of this. And literally, they've got 9 of them. So this company could be a £1 billion company. They've also got offtake agreements from Hitachi, from some of the biggest companies in the world. So they're there. You know, they're pretty much there. They'll get funding for this. It's not a problem. It's good jurisdiction. It's worth a lot. I mean, it's got a good presentation on their website, worth checking out. But it's to feed the world, basically. Feed the world. Make this a better place.
Right. So your messaging is quite confused at the moment, because it's on one hand we're going into a global depression, and on the other hand you're buying companies that you think you're going to fall further, and mining companies which you've been dead against for years, and I'm a bit confused.
No, I know. Listen, no, it's,
yeah, okay, you agree. Yeah,
it is confusing. I know, but do you know what?
Okay.
Just realise we're going into.
You could be a politician.
No, these companies are not. I mean, I don't want to change them. I've done research on them. I've looked at them, and I like them a lot. And these are companies I intend to hold for a long time. So I'm going to watch them, and I will only research them. The thing is, I've got lots of companies on my watch list. You know, too many. That's the problem. With investors, you have too many companies. You're going to have to concentrate. I may drop one or two of these, but you have to concentrate now your thoughts onto as few, because the risks, as the market goes down, the risk goes down pretty much. Right? There's going to be a massive upside here. So you don't want to spread your cash too much. You can afford to take on a bit more risk down the bottom end of the market, because the next 10 years, it's all going to be reward. After we come out of this, it's all going to be reward. One of the best rewards you'll ever have in your life for the next 10 years. That's what
can
I'm
I
saying.
Can I say, I honestly don't believe that you will ever hold a stock for a long time other than funds.
Yeah.
You cannot, hold
your attention span is too short.
I held Lloyds after the last financial crash for I mean, how long did you have that Lloyds for? But you forgot it, right? I had it for like three or four years.
You held it probably for a few years.
Yeah, so that was 3 years, not 10 years.
I know, but I didn't know. I know. I'm always learning. Don't worry about that. And that's, do you know what? You've always got to be changing your mind. I saw someone literally tweet yesterday, right? This guy called a nasty person on Twitter, right? Saying, oh, look, I don't just even mention this next week. Tomorrow, it was this time last year, apparently, I mentioned bids was going to, I said, I'm going to give you a forewarning of a 10 bagger. At the time, bids was like 12 pence. It went to 42 pence. But I was talking about bids at 6 pence, right? And so, I was talking about it. So I said, I bet you won't mention this tomorrow. Let me just tell you, Bidstack, right, could have been a 10 bagger. In fact, it wasn't close, from 5 pence to sort of 42 pence. But they missed their target. They missed their target. When a company misses its target, when the story changes, I've done a video on this. When should you sell a stock? When the story changes, or you believe there's no upside, there's three reasons why you sell. The story changed on bids. That's why you need to sell. The reason why humans have adapted and last so long, the reason why the most powerful species on the planet is because we evolve and adapt. Like what we're doing now, we're evolving and adapting to this virus. The ingenuity of building that hospital will be the same ingenuity that will kill the virus, because we can adapt and evolve. Now, when you get a company that's changed the story, that comes in, you've got to change your mind on it. That's why I changed my mind on Bidstack. In the end, they missed that massive target of first year they're going to get 6 million in revenue. Didn't happen. Get out. It's not going to happen. Get out. So if something changes, I will. But now I know, if you look at, I didn't realize there's certain companies who will be generating good revenue for the next 10 years. You can just sit in them. You can sit in them forever. But also with funds, you can sit in them forever. Because if you look at that fund, the Vanguard Life Strategy, every company you want to own is in that fund. From Alpha, from Apple to the big stocks in the UK, all the big ones in America. So 20% of the fund is the good stocks in America. 20% of the good stocks in UK. The rest is the rest of the world and all that stuff. Or European, the best stocks in. So they own about, I think it's about 1,300 companies are covered in their strategy A. So if you want to own the market, you can own it via that and do very well. But if you want to get outsized returns, like I said, if you want to have market returns, get a fund. If you want to outperform other funds, buy in dips. If you want to outperform funds, you've got to buy individual stocks and get better. But no, I listen, as long as the story grows, like I said, this company, if you look at the revenue going to be generating, Salt Lake Potash, I'm going to be holding it, because they're nowhere near. They've had a massive sell-off of late. The CEO has just been buying loads more stock, because he realizes they're way undervalued, because everything's been hit, especially resource stocks. This company will get funding, no problem at all. If you look at the funding they've received from big companies and corporations, they're massive. They're going to be massive. Anyway, that's that. That's the defense of that one. Next one, European metals. I just bought this. Industrial metals, they're lithium. Right. They're in the Czech Republic. Lithium's going to be massive. The next, Volkswagen, Golf, all that stuff. Next one, plant health. Again, it's in chemicals.
Resource companies. Hang on, you just skipped over the second resource company.
European metal holdings. They are in the Czech Republic. They're lithium. So they are within distance of
all. What percentage of your portfolio? What percentage of your portfolio are you now putting in resource stocks?
No, there's just two. There's two.
Number 10 is EUZ.
These are companies with massive backers. They're right in the heart The biggest manufacturing car country in the world is Germany, all right? It's got BMW, Volkswagen, it's got Porsche, it's got Audi. They're right next to that. All these companies, of course, are going to be producing massive amounts of electric vehicles. Lithium you need for electric vehicles, right? So it's like, so I made changes as I go along. Anyway, next one is Plant Health. It's a plant tech. It's an agri tech company, and their chemicals help again yield, crop yield, and also got deals in California. Who's got a problem with water and with crop yields. E Energy is the next one. These are small caps. It's an industrial support services. So the energy as a service to companies. So they'll go to big schools and they'll say we'll take over all the electrical problems, lighting, all that stuff. You pay us a subscription model revenue. The guys behind that done very well in the last company, and Polarian Imaging is the last one. Yes, so there's, listen, I made changes on the way. You have to adapt and move, but I want to make sure now I'm sort of positioned, you know. Like I said, I got
so
one
toe. Some more Polarian, or are you just keeping what you had?
I could keep what I had. I got one toe out of 10 toes in these companies. That's what I'm saying. So far, I'm at small toe. The small toe is in. I got 10 other toes. You know, that's what I'm saying. I may chop one of the toes off.
Your small toes are really big, though. I've seen them. Yeah. They're like sort of hobbity, aren't they? You've almost got like two big toes.
Yeah, I may.
Like I think we've all got two big toes pads.
Oh, yeah, but my toes are the other end. Big toes and the small toes there. That'd be
odd, but your little toe's about 3 inches long, isn't it?
Yeah, like you imagine, right, having toes, small toes and big toes the wrong way round.
You'd fall over quite a bit, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Good. What's Paddy saying? Paddy, what are you sending on Twitter?
WhatsApp.
WhatsApp. Paddy sent a picture of Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy. Obviously, it isn't the real one. Someone's made them out of plasticine, and they're in a very compromised position.
Yeah.
Wow! She's well stacked, isn't she? I didn't see that with Miss Piggy before. But there we are. Like I said, do you know what? I've been out of resource stocks for a while, right? Now, I'm starting to move back in. So Lake Way.
Are these profit-making resource stocks, or are these?
Listen. Lake Way. Salt Lake Potash is not your tin pot. Have a look at it. Offtakes from Hitachi. Hitachi, one of the biggest companies in the world. They're a conglomerate. They're a proper company with proper. Look at the funds they've raised. It's a proper company, and at the moment, this is a company. This is a company we just hold for several years, and it'll if it goes to plan, just check out their the presentation there. It's very easy to read. It's mostly big pictures, but yeah, very impressive.
What I'm looking for at the moment is clarity, and this podcast today is maybe more confused than ever.
Oh, God, yeah. Don't listen to any of this. This is absolute garbage.
When there's blood... You've got to take your position early, boys. You've got to take it early, haven't you? I'm really early, but I'm in lockdown. That's all I do all day. I'm really early to the bar. Listen, right? It's like Steve's disco party, right? It starts at 7 o'clock. It's like me turning up at 1 p.m. Steve, let's get it going! So it isn't for 6 hours yet. I say, no, but I'm just going to sit there. I'll potter around. I'll find things to do. But, you know, I'm there. I'm just early, is all. I'm early to the party. You know, this is a good analogy. I may change my outfit a couple of times before we start. But I generally know the kind of feel. I know what I'm after. You know, I know what I'm going to be doing that evening. I know what I'm going to be doing. But it's just
Steve's house might fall down mid-afternoon, and then start to build back up, and then be ready for about 7 o'clock to get going.
I'm very early to the party, and Steve may even call the party off. I don't know.
I've got no changing room, so you just get changed in as well.
Steve may even say the party isn't today; it's tomorrow. Right. So I'm over 24 hours early. Fine. But I'm very early. I'm just looking at these companies. You know, I like it. So,
Right, lads. I've got to go.
All right, then.
I've got to go and self-isolate.
Yeah, me too. It's a busy weekend of self-isolation. I know what it means for you single guys. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Good to talk, lads.
Bye-bye.
Great podcast.
Yeah. Thanks, Pad.
Well done, guys. Everyone.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.